Hey, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Strand Tennis Center podcast, filled with tips, advice, tennis, not tennis, just life advice, too, whatever you need. Like it on YouTube. Share it on the podcast as well. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Strand Tennis Center podcast. I'm Steve Capo. I'm your host. We've got Santi here. Santi was discussing his long hair. It's getting longer. Are you going to cut it?
I don't know. Not yet.
It's basically down to your shoulders and almost like at the top of your chest, basically.
Yeah.
So I saw a picture of you. I think you were stringing rackets. I saw an old photo of me.
Oh,
it's
yeah. Like
a memory. You and me, when you were stringing a racket with a hat on. And
yep.
Your hair was shorter. It looked good.
A lot shorter, yeah.
I think, I don't know. I you look more professional?
I was thinking going buzz cut. Like that.
That'd be pretty
that'd
cool.
Be
change
crazy.
Your face, right?
Yeah, but maybe, maybe not.
No?
I don't know. It's a big debate.
What was I going to say? There was somebody at Pickleball yesterday that said, I saw the podcast. I love it. You had Santi on. I love him. I love Santi.
Oh, really?
You are a salesman. That was a long time ago. That was
nice.
One where we actually did. One where I actually had
we
you
did
on.
The one with tennis balls. Yeah, the kids, the red, orange.
Oh,
green.
Yeah, yeah, red, orange, yeah. The different pressureless balls. That's a good question, too. We can go on that, too. People have been going back with the pressureless balls, like we talked about that before. But it's been coming up recently about why don't we use the foam balls more and all those things. And again, just to reiterate, I'm a firm believer in getting to that yellow ball as quickly as we can. I think you can use a foam ball. Which is basically there's a foam ball, there's a red ball, there's an orange ball, there's a green ball. Orange and green, to me, are just a waste. They're just a money grab to get them in. Once you get to a point where you can hit an orange ball, you should just be hitting a yellow ball. The foam ball, yes, maybe for a four-year-old or a three-year-old.
Right.
They don't even understand the weight of the ball. It's
right.
A fun more thing to do. The red ball for them to rally with, maybe four and five. But after 5 years old?
Yeah.
Get them off it. We've discussed this many times. Our best American players never use those balls.
Yeah.
And I really think you should get to the yellow ball, understand the weight of the ball, understand the feel. But I was going to go into probability and chance today in regards to, because we were talking to Sergey. We finished our mental toughness series, Sergey Breland, which was great to talk to him. He was our Devils assistant coach, won 3 Stanley Cups of the Devils, understands about mental toughness and things like that. And then we had Christian Alshon on. We just put that out today. Audio wasn't good. Try to get through it. I listened to it. Try to get through it. We apologize for the audio, but it was the best that we can do. Again, he played college tennis, played for UVA, then went to the University of Chicago, won a national championship there, and decided to play pickleball. Now he's top 10 in the world and loves it. So I'm talking about probability and chance now of being successful between things that are certain and uncertain. You can even equate trying to play a sport with, you know, value investing in a stock market. People don't make many choices when they value invest. They really look for a low risk and high uncertainty. With sports, that's a hard question. It's really never low risk. If you try to be a 99 percentile, that's a lot of work. I guess the risk is time, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's not. I mean, would you consider trying to be a professional athlete low risk and high uncertainty, or is it high risk? What do you think?
Personally, if I had the chance to be a professional athlete, I feel like that's like falling. A dream or a childhood dream or even an adult dream, you know, especially like the older guys who play golf, right? Yeah. You could become a professional golfer at the age of, 40, if you're doing pretty well. You know, there's a bunch of different sports you can enter at different times, but I know most sports, the younger, better, so you're more agile, can move around, stuff like that.
But do you think it's low risk? In other words, are you really...
It's high risk because there's so much...
You said high risk?
I think it's... Well, the probability of you becoming, successful in that whatever sport it is very hard because you have so many people you're competing with in the world.
Yeah, but that's high uncertainty. Yes.
Yeah.
High uncertainty, you don't know. But is the risk low?
Oh, yeah, there's low risk.
You think it's low risk?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So it's worth going after it because maybe you're young once.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not spending your money. Your parents are probably spending the money. So it's probably true. If you were, if you equated this to like Warren Buffett is a value investor. I don't know why I'm into this, but they're looking for low risk and high uncertainty. So they would try to do that because it's low risk because of time, I guess. Yeah. The only thing you're risking is time, but you're young.
Right.
And the high uncertainty is you could be a professional athlete, right?
Right.
And the only thing you waste is time, and you find out probably pretty quick whether you're between 15 and 18, whether you can do it. And that's why Buffett was great. Buffett, if you read his autobiography, he wanted to be like a power, he wanted to be like a lifter or a bodybuilder. Then he realized, I don't remember the dimensions, he realized with his body type, his dimension and muscles could only get so big, so he just stopped lifting. Like that focus. Like, in other words, not getting pie in the sky, not saying, oh, I just don't have this physical ability to do it, so I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
That's being disciplined, too. So we're talking about risk, reward. We're talking about really probability and chance. That's going to be kind of the topic of the podcast. So to do something that's low risk, high reward, you've got to make a quick decision as well. If it's low risk, you've got to decide right away how much time you're going to waste. So if you can waste 2 or 3 years and you're young, that's fine. Then you got to realize you're not good enough and figure that out physically. I realized physically I wasn't good enough by the time I got to college. So okay. I was going to play, but I wasn't going to spend the extra time doing it because I wasn't going to be a professional athlete. I didn't have the physical tools enough. So we'll go through. I looked up, which is a great number for everybody to see. This is the... what's the website? Scholarshipstats.com. These are the odds of a U.S. high school male athlete playing college.
Okay.
All the sports. Let's see how many people are. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. They go through 14.
Okay.
Okay, baseball. Playing NCAA. This is, we'll do all Division I right now.
Got it.
Okay. Playing Division I, baseball. The odds are 8 to 1. It's 2.3%. Mm-hmm. Basketball, 17 to 1, 0.9%. Cross country is 13 to 1, 2%. Football is 11 to 1, 3%. Golf is 17 to 1, 1.4%. Ice hockey is 10 to 1, 2.5%. Lacrosse, 7 to 1, 3.2%. Soccer, 12 to 1, 0.9%. Swimming and diving, 13 to 1, 2.5%. Track and field, 16 to 1, 1.9%. Volleyball, 16 to 1, 0.8%. Water polo, 13 to 1, 3%. Wrestling, 19 to 1, 1.2%. And I waited for tennis to be the last one. Guess what tennis is?
I don't know, less than 1%.
25 to 1. It's the hardest one, 0.6%.
Yeah.
It's the hardest one.
That makes sense.
Now, why do you think out of all these sports... baseball, basketball, cross country, football, ice hockey, lacrosse, swimming. Why do you think it's the hardest?
I think, well, tennis is an individual sport, right? Mm-hmm. So kind of similar to the golf percentage. You're competing against others, but essentially amongst yourself. So you have to stand out in that realm, and then you have to compare yourself to how many people play in the world,
yep,
especially overseas.
So number one... you have to do everything. It's an individual sport.
Correct.
Right? You have to be able to it's not a team sport. So you have to be able to qualify on all levels, forehand, backhand, serve, volley. Number two, it's an international sport. And they pick players from all over the world to play college. You got another one? That's good. It's good too.
Yeah.
Was there another one you were going to say? I'm sorry. Just going through the ones you're saying.
No, that's it.
That's it?
Yeah. I think that's the hardest entry because you have to be, like you said, solid in all your shots, all your form, everything. And then and even if everyone is solid, right, you still have to win, right? You're solid. You have perfect stroke, perfect everything. You still have to mentally be there, compete, win, stay positive, and, you know, win mostly all your matches, right, to be top seed, top 100, you know, something like that.
Yeah, you got to produce. And number three, part of the supply and demand, there's not many roster spots, right? So it's not like football where there's, I don't know, 45.
Right.
You got like 9 or 10 spots, 11, maybe 12, and it's international. There's more people. There's more supply than the demand, right?
Right.
I thought the lowest one, I mean, besides tennis, 0.9 was basketball because I guess there's so many players. I would assume, I would have thought that golf would be lower, but because it's international. But I guess there's just not as many people playing golf as there is tennis, to me.
You know what I thought is always interesting growing up? So I went to Piscataway High School. We're a very big football and basketball school. And we always win states in our division. I always found it very interesting where, you know, I'm not a super basketball football fan, but how many people play at a time, right? You have, I don't know, 30, 40 kids on a team. Only maybe 10 or 12 or so play at the same time.
Yep.
And you may get in the whole season, you may get 5 minutes, 10 minutes of actual playing time. They're going to put their stars in. They want to win, right? So that's another thing. And if you're going to become a professional athlete in basketball, anything like that, you might just be on the bench for a while until you can prove yourself, you know?
Well, that's true. Sure, it's very competitive. You're going to be on the bench on most of these things, even if you make the team, right? Most of these, let's say, the best college basketball player in their state or, you know, football player, you go to Alabama or you go to one of these great schools, it's going to be hard to play, yeah.
Yep.
I'm just trying to, you know, we always try to create reality here, or probability and chance. Like, we're not here, like, there's some people on social media that will say, oh, they'll sell the kid a bill of goods,
right,
and they'll try to be like, you know, we're not here to do that. I'm here to show the reality and say, look, like we told Sergey, 1% life, 1% work. You have to work super hard. And if you are going to do this, you have to realize the odds. I would really realize them. That's why these guys, these investors are great. They realize the odds. And they realize when the odds are in their favor, they'll really go all in and they'll bet a lot. So you have to find when your odds are in your favor. So if I look at Division II, let's see. Let's see reality. Where is it? Division I, playing in college at all. It's 4%. So, and the number of athletes is 969. So it's 4%. So even playing in college is just 4%. So for tennis.
Okay.
So think about that. You're bad. Like, if you were a tennis player, like if you were looking at this, you'd be like, oh, the highest number of playing in college is 15% lacrosse. Why is everybody playing lacrosse now? The odds of getting into a school and playing are higher.
Yeah.
15% is a good number to play in any, like, 3.2% is a decent number to play in college in Division One. So here are the odds. This is the betting's odds. It's 155-1 to play Division One.
Ooh.
So look, I mean, 25-1 with the college odds, the NCAA, what was it? The NCAA, let me see. The NCAA total odds, I think it was. Okay, NCAA Division One odds. We're 155-1. The college odds, I'm sorry, I got to correct myself, were 25-1. The NCAAs are 155-1 for tennis.
Oh, man.
So that's the odds. So how many high schools you think are in New Jersey?
A lot.
A lot, right?
Yeah, a lot.
How many kids play tennis?
The ones that actually play
500
on
kids?
Varsity?
I mean, yeah. Can I be like...
Say like 10 kids
there's
per
10
team.
Kids on a team.
Yep.
Are there 50 schools? Are there 100 schools?
Something like that, probably.
Let's look that up. Bear with me. Hey, Siri. How many high schools are in New Jersey? 866 high schools.
No way.
866 high schools made of 612 public schools and 254. So 866, is that what I said?
Yeah.
866. Well, average is what, 10 on a team?
Yeah.
So obviously, that's 8,000.
What?
8,000 kids. So it's 155-1. So what's the math on that? Out of each 150, let's say, divide that by 155. 55 kids? That's it. You've got 55 kids are going to be able to make it in the state playing Division I. Out of the whole state.
Yeah. That's crazy,
right? So when you get to the reality of it, You should look at the probability. You should look at the chances and go, okay, I want to be one of these 55 kids. Once you set that goal and realize it, fine. It's 55 Division I athletes. Now, the other one was 25 to 1, right?
Right.
So, let's see, what was it, 8,068, right? Something like that. What was it? 8,668 divided by 25, right? No, so what were we doing? It was 155. It's probably 340 kids. So to play in college, fine, that's better. Division I is 55. So when you look at those numbers, you have to make sure that you're really aware of what you're doing. So there's low risk, correct. But the high probability of success, So if you looked at this and looked at the, you know, high variability, there's a big variability there, right?
Right.
You could be one of the 346, you could be 55, or you could be nobody out of the time. Do you think, is it worth for you?
Okay.
If you had to play, and to be even to play Division II, Division III, you know, you've got to practice, right? So is it right. worth your time to practice 3-4 days a week? To have a chance of 8,000 students, 8,686 players to be one of the 346 to play?
I think personally for me, you have to love the sport. And when I started playing, I started late, like eighth grade. And I didn't really have really any lessons. And I played against a wall. And I did it every day because I really loved it. Yeah. And it was really fun. I never thought about going to play in college at all. I was like, there's no way. I didn't start when I was in fifth grade or whatever. And the kids that are starting that young, they have to still love it by the time they're in late middle school, right? And not feel that pressure where their parents are forcing them to play because their parents think that they can make something out of it. I think deep down in your heart, you have to want it and work hard towards that goal. And even then, it's not certain that it'll happen.
So I guess when they're that young, that's an interesting point as a factor. You don't really think about probability and chance. You do the things you like. And if you do the things you like, you'll practice. And if you get successful, you need some success, it'll make you want to practice more.
Yep.
I guess the PSA today is just for the parents to realize how hard it is to do.
Right.
Because there can be a lot of time and a lot of money spent and they're not aware of the odds and the results.
I remember talking to one parent, somebody that plays here and plays at a really good school, and they told me how much they spent over the years, and she said it was close to $1 million on lessons.
For one kid?
Going to tournaments, traveling, hotels.
Over how many years?
All these things. I'm not sure, but she said she said overall close to $1 million. I was like, oh.
That seems exorbitant.
Maybe she meant more like 500,000, but I could see you spending a lot of money traveling, time-wise, going here, going there.
Well, if you're traveling all over the country,
lessons.
Maybe $1 million. I mean, let's say the kid starts at 10 and places 18. That's 8 years. I mean,
so
now we're going to do more math.
Let's say like 100,000 a year, right? So
yeah.
is that reasonable? I don't know. I mean, depending on how much private lessons are.
I mean,
you
got to be having a private every day. You got to be traveling a ton.
Yeah.
You know, paying for airfare and lodging
right.
and things like that. And then,
I mean, maybe she's factoring food.
Wow, that's,
you know, gear. You know, stuff
I
like
think
that.
That's,
stringing.
I don't think you have to pay that much money to be that successful. I don't think you do.
Okay.
But so. That's really just the topic of discussion is probability and chance. Would you go into something with low risk and high uncertainty? That's the best odds for you, I guess, is low risk and high uncertainty because you don't want high risk, high uncertainty. You don't want low risk, low uncertainty. That rarely happens, low risk, low uncertainty. That's a very, very strange situation. So high risk, low uncertainty, no good. Low risk, low uncertainty is a no-brainer. Everybody would do it. It has no risk, and I'm going to win. So that's why when things are in your odds, in your favor, do it. So just letting everybody aware of the numbers, I wanted to go over those numbers because I thought it was important. So it's 155 to 1 to play a Division I, to play Division I tennis, 25 to 1 to play college tennis. So just be aware of those numbers. Be aware of what you're doing. and say, hey, and it's okay if you're just enjoying your high school sport and just enjoy it. That's maybe just enough, right? And if anything else happens, it's a bonus.
Right.
So that's all really where I was at today, Santi. Just a little nugget of advice that Santi, how did you weren't part of camp. Camp's been crazy this week. It's been fun.
Yeah,
we had a first week of camp. It was sold out. Mm-hmm. Little nutty. But it's been fun. Prizes and things like that.
I was here yesterday morning. It was wild.
It was wild,
right? It was cute, though. They're having a great time.
Yeah. So, if anyone else to play camp, I'm not doing any promotional ads, but if anyone wants to play camp, might as well.
Yeah.
It's fun. But no, they're having a great time. But everybody, the answer's in the action. Stay busy. That's the key. And watch. One other thing is, we were going to discuss something else. You bring it up. But the Schwarzenegger documentary on Netflix, the first two episodes I saw, very good.
What is it
about
called?
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh,
very good.
Very good.
Like, talk about a guy, an athlete that was just determined and said, I just had the vision and nothing getting in the way of my vision. Like, you want to talk about focus and desire. Whatever he wanted to do, he did.
Right.
He finished. The first episode is about him being an athlete. The next one is about him being an actor and then a politician. And it's just like right after he's done being a, you know, Mr. Olympia 7-8 times, it's like, oh, I want to be an actor.
Okay.
Biggest star in the world. Yeah, I like to be a politician. It's like anything he wanted to do, he did. You got to give the guy credit. I mean, incredible amount of focus. And I told my wife, I said, it would have been perfect if he didn't sleep with the maid for 14 years.
Oh, yeah, I saw that part.
That was the thing. He was like, I mean, but whatever, we can go with that. But
the thing about that is I saw on TikTok that he's, even though, you know, that kids, they, you know, that's not it from his original wife. You know, he's still, nowadays, he's, puts a lot of effort to make a relationship with that with his other son.
Yeah, I heard he does
so
a really good
really
job.
Nice, you know.
No, he's been seems
not
like a very nice person.
Yeah,
and it sold my wife because he has animals in his house. Like they're all in his house. Like they live with him, like in the house, like donkeys and stuff. It's like
that's cool.
It's a crazy scene, but definitely see that doc. It's really good. Everybody, have a good day. Thank you.
Hey everybody, hope you liked the podcast. Please share it with your friends, anybody that you know, anybody that's into tennis, anybody that's into bettering themselves, share it.